Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in for another episode of Vol Club Confidential, sponsored by the great people at Knoxville Smiles. I'm your host, Austin Price. Coming up tonight on the show, we have Tennessee Lady Vols head coach Kim Caldwell to wrap up season two. So this will be the final show until August. But before then, we bring in Will Crockett of the Volunteer Club. And Will, you look at the next couple of months, going to be pivotal from a standpoint of just getting ready for those big tailgates. We're going to finish out baseball season and the launch of the new app.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll spend the next few months getting ready for everything throughout the fall. So for our tailgates, you know, we always want to try to do bigger and better. So we're going to work through that. And then we're really excited about this app that we have coming out. You know, something that we've noticed really since football season ends with basketball and baseball, we try to do a few events. It's just harder to have as many people there just because not as many people can travel in. We don't have the space, et cetera. So for the app, this is a way for us to engage people 12 months throughout the year. So we're really excited about that. So that should be coming out hopefully late May, early June.
And we're doing a lot of shared content with VolQuest on there, whether it be players' press conferences, coaches' press conferences, podcasts, all those type of things will be available on the app.
Yeah, the people keep asking us for more of you. So this is just a way for us to get you out there, but really everybody at VolQuest. So that's the big thing for us is just engage members in new ways.
What a guy you are.
Yeah, you know it.
Baseball season wrapping up as we get you out the door, which means those activations coming up in the month of May for the South Carolina series.
Yep. So we're going to be at the stadium doing different stuff throughout there. So you can come by and see us then as we, you know, hopefully host a regional, then super regional, and then in the World Series, we're going to be there the whole way. So as far as they go, we're right there with them.
We appreciate you. We also appreciate the great people at Knoxville Smiles.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Costa. Dr. Malone and I here at Knoxville Smiles are here to help you with any of your dental needs, whether it's a routine cleaning, a root canal, or if you just want some advice. Did you know that you don't have to settle for a denture anymore? My team and Dr. Malone are here to help you no matter where you're at and to help you figure out the truth for your dental health. So give us a call or visit our website at KnoxvilleSmiles.com.
Coach, you just over a year ago, you know, you're at your alma mater. You're not even at Marshall yet. You're not married yet.
Mm-hmm.
To know how much your life has like changed in the last like 365 days, how wild has that ride been?
It's hard to wrap your head around at this point. You know, every now and then you think about it. My alma mater is in a one-stoplight town in central West Virginia. I mean, the population is 1,400 max, maybe. And so there's not a Walmart, there's not a mall, there's barely cell phone service. I mean, you go 15 miles of back roads to get there, and it's a special place. It's a great place. Yeah. It's a huge part of my heart. But to go from there, and a year later, you're the head coach at Tennessee, it's very hard to wrap your head around. And you want to make those people proud and remember where you came from. But it's just a completely, completely big jump. And then you get married and you buy a house and you sell a house and you do it over and over. And that's what this profession is, isn't it?
It is. When you kind of look at, you know, the last, you know, almost month since you got here, I know you're spending a lot of time, at, you know, in the office recruiting, mm-hmm. building a staff, things you all did a year ago, but at this level, probably a little bit different than what you were doing at Marshall, right?
Absolutely. I think I was always nervous about the jump from Division II to Division I. And I would say that jump was easier than the jump from mid-major to high major and the SEC and the way things operate here. I've learned probably more in the last 2.5 weeks than I have my whole career, and just trying to keep up with the order of operations and how things go. And so it's definitely a different ball game. And I am thankful to have a staff in place that is there to help me with it.
You did this a year ago, and as you said, it's a little bit different now. But like when you made this jump, did you kind of have an idea of kind of maybe a few people that you wanted to go target to be on your staff? Or was that kind of flying by the seat of your pants?
Flying by the seat of my pants. I didn't, I mean, I
didn't, you didn't think you'd be here.
Didn't think I'd be here. I mean, I didn't, I don't know anyone from the SEC.
Sure.
I mean, I was a Division II coach. And yeah. So there's a lot of contacts that I don't have or didn't have. I have them now that I didn't have because I didn't need them. And so, no, it just making sure that when I got here, I tried to do things the right way and kind of a blank slate, which is nice, but making sure that I'm doing things the right way and getting the best people in for Tennessee.
When you're at the office all hours of the day, do you ever just get up and like, just like when you're on the phone, like, are you just in your office or do you like walk around the arena? Like, what's that like? Because I would imagine that, you know, just different surroundings, you're trying to familiarize yourself with everything and just kind of get a feel for it.
Yeah, I don't sit well, so I'll do a lot of phone calls and I'll do it outside, which is nice because the weather here is phenomenal. But every day on my way out, there's multiple ways to get to my car and I'll usually cut across the arena and try to picture it packed and picture it on game day and picture what it's like and just... I mean, it's an incredible arena. It's an incredible fan base. It's an incredible opportunity. And so I try to just on my way out the door every night, because when you leave, you're still not done, right? You're taking phone calls yeah. on the way home. You get home, you're still talking on the phone. So take that moment to myself and just kind of picture it.
I think Food City Center, formerly Tom Smalling Arena, is neat when the lights are off. Like, because you know, there's just enough like emergency lighting mm-hmm. in there. And it, so it gives that kind of cool feel, and you can still, you can see the silhouette of the banners
and the box lights are still yeah. on. So yeah, it's nice.
What's the one thing you didn't know that you found out? No, the one thing that sticks with you that you're like, man, I didn't know that.
I think there's a lot of things, but I think the first thing that comes to my mind is just how the alumni here of any sport, even if you didn't play a sport, of just what an honor it is to go to school here. And it's kind of an elite group, and it's really remarkable that I get to be a small part of it.
Everyone wants to talk about the pace of play. Kind of for the Tennessee fans that haven't seen you coach, haven't seen your teams play, that don't know, describe it.
So we're going to go 5-out offense. We're going to try to get the ball across half court in 2 bounces. So we're going to go as quick as we can to get the ball across half court. We're going to look to hit the home run pass for a quick layup first. It's not going to be there every time, obviously. And then we're going to look to pass it up to the wing and then drive. And then we're going to look to have our point guard go coast to coast and get a layup. And then we're going to go high ball screen, NBA 5-out offense, space and pace, and try to score fast. And when we're going to press, make or miss, variety of presses. We are going to switch that up a little bit, but we want to give our players a lot of freedom. We want to teach them to play. I like to have great players, not great plays. So teach them how to play off of each other, teach them how to drive and kick and let them go.
When you're having a lot of success and there are no stoppages, there's no fouls, there's no any of that, like, because I know the you know, being able to rotate in and out is a big deal in the offense. Like, is there a point in time where you feel comfortable calling a timeout to kind of, you know, kind of give the ones that are out there a break, or do you just let them go? Is it just kind of a feel thing?
I don't know if this is a stat, but I would say I probably call the least amount of timeouts of anyone in the country. I let my players use them. I don't like to use them unless we need to, or and I'll save them for in game. So no, we run a lot. So I'll usually tell them, suck it up, push through it. We'll get you some subs. Yeah. We'll pick up our bench energy to try to give them some energy to get through it. But rarely, unless it's bad and they're not playing hard, will we burn a timeout?
How would you like to, you know, first year is always there. Like Coach Heupel kind of did this when he got here, you know, bringing a new style of play in. But if you had a, you know, if you could kind of script it all, what kind of thumbprint are you putting on the program in year one?
I think the biggest thing is we want to be a team that works really hard and plays really hard and is fun to watch. And so we want to be flying around, getting the 50-50 balls, being on the floor, out-rebounding our opponent. We want to be just a hard-nosed blue-collar team.
What do you like about the players that you inherited? Because at the end of the day, they're now your players. They're not Coach Harper's players. Just like, you know, when Coach Pruitt was out, they become Coach Heupel's players. Right.
No, I appreciate you said that, because there is a lot of your players, not your players. I love them. They're my players, and they're hungry. They have a chip on their shoulder. They want to be pushed. They want to win. They're fun to be around. They're funny. And so the best part of my days right now are being in the gym with them.
Do you think they understand at this point the style of play change for them?
Yeah, I think they understand. We've talked about it. We've kind of joked about it because we've been pretty light. Like, we've done some skill workouts and some open gym, but we haven't done anything too terrible. But they know. I mean, I'll always talk about it, especially in front of recruits. Like, hey, the running is going to be tough. And they kind of side-eye me. Like, they know it's coming. I have a reputation that we run a lot, and they know that. And I'm sure they did their research, too, of talking to my former players. And so they know it's coming. But I think that as long as they are going to be given freedom on offense, which they are, they're going to be willing to do that.
Coach Heupel comes from a similar type background. He's kind of middle of nowhere, South Dakota, you know, kind of coming this route, from a coaching standpoint. Is there anybody you could go and talk to about advice? Not necessarily him, but just like, you kind of go and pull from and go, you know, hey, what can I expect? You know, what do I need to look out for? Those type of things, making this kind of jump.
Yeah. I think every head coach here has been phenomenally welcoming. I see Rick all the time, obviously up in the practice gyms, and he's great. I mean, great. Just a down to earth guy that we could talk about anything and would help me find a place to live or help us with anything on the basketball side. And so he's been really, really good just on his side that I know if we needed anything that I could walk right over.
What about from a Lady Vol standpoint? Like, you know, how much, because you've been building a staff, you've been, you know, obviously trying to recruit, fill out your roster, but at the same time, you got to kind of, you know, try to work those alumni, you know, those former players, just because, you know, you're the first non-Lady Vol to be the head coach here. So you're trying to, you know, get to know those people. How much have you kind of worked that, you know, to talk to, you know, former Lady Vols?
Yeah, I think it's important to have those relationships and have them be real and authentic, not just forced. And so right now, I think it could come off a little bit as forced. I'm calling you just because I'm supposed to. I want to actually hear what you have to say. I want to actually learn from you. And so we had a great day yesterday. We probably had 25, 30 alumni in the building watching our practice. Got to talk to them after, got to hear their stories. Their Pat Summit stories were phenomenal. I mean, I could listen to them all day and just have them talking to our former players or our current players. And it was just a great day. And it was happy to see them. I was happy to hear their stories. And again, like, we welcome them back. We have an open invitation to any alumni that they can come walk into any practice at any time. They don't need to make an appointment. Just show up.
When you were a little girl and you fell in love with basketball, what kind of, do you remember that one time where you're like, man, I just love this game? Like, how old were you?
I don't necessarily remember. I have two older sisters. My dad was obviously our coach from a young age. And so I always like looked up to them, and it was just always something we did, especially when you're the youngest in a basketball family. It's just something, you're always in the gym. And as the youngest, you kind of, you know, we have a reputation as the youngest. You kind of has weasel tendencies. And so we would go to the gym and I'd forget my shoes. And, you know, just I was the worst of the three by far. And so always being in the gym. I remember going to a WNBA game one time and I in the arena, and I thought it was the coolest thing ever. I'm like, I'm going to play in the WNBA. And then I didn't grow. So I was like, I'm not going to play in the WNBA. I want to be a coach, because that was the next best thing.
Sure. How would you describe your ability as a player?
I was not very good. I tried really hard. I was a great teammate. I was in the gym. If I would have been in the gym as much as I was my senior year, I think things for me, I probably put a sense of urgency on basketball too late in life. But I was a 5'10 post player. They thought I was going to grow. My dad's 6'10. My sisters are 6'5 and 6'4. So I was in the post, and they thought that I was going to be taller, and I was not. So my basketball lifespan was pretty short, being 5'10 and not knowing how to really dribble or shoot.
What's the family reaction been to all this?
My oldest sister and her friends and everyone, right, from our age grew up a Tennessee fan, but they were diehard Tennessee fans. I mean, had Tennessee blankets, blue tearaway pants. I mean, they're in that era where it was just, there was no other school. And so she's been so excited. She came down the first weekend to see everything. She was already here, and it's amazing, and they're going to be back. And so they're just happy, a little bit worried, but happy.
So when you interview for the job, because in talking to people, everybody said you killed the interview. Like, you just, and that's where you won the job was your ability to kind of sell yourself and the passion and the playing style. We all know Dandy likes home runs, touchdowns, and a lot of points, like 3 points.
There you go.
That's his MO as someone who hires. You know, when did it become real for you?
So I went into the Zoom interview like, okay, like, sure, let's do it. Was just very much myself. And that's kind of my whole philosophy in recruiting, coaching, in life. I'm going to be myself. They can take it or leave it. If you try to fake your way through an interview, you try to fake your way with a recruit or a player, like they're going to see through it. And if they don't see through it, then it's not going to be a great situation once you are comfortable and you can be yourself. And so I was very much myself. I was very honest. Talked about my blind spots, my weak spots. When you get me talking about basketball, and Danny was really good about talking about basketball. And so that was fun. That made the interview fun. And then they had mentioned, after the Zoom interview, they had mentioned wanting to come to my house. And we had just had a tornado, so we didn't have any power. I'm like, well, we can come sit in the dark. But when that was mentioned, I was like, oh, well, I must have done okay on that. But it's still kind of a blur.
You're standing up there, you know, being introduced at that point. Like, are you still like, this a dream? Like, you know what I mean? Like, at that point, when did it truly hit you? Has it hit you?
I don't know that it's hit me. You know, I think Pat Summitt has a really great quote, and it's one that I've written down. My very first day, I keep a little journal. My very first day as a head coach, I had this journal, and I wrote down left foot, right foot, breathe, repeat, right? And it's a very famous Pat quote, and that's what I'm doing right now. Like, step by step, day by day, just show up, take care of what you need to take care of, do it to the best of your ability, and then move on.
How much do you look forward to it slowing down? I mean, it's never truly going to slow down, but at the same time, all right, we got the staff hired, the roster's complete. All right, now we can actually do, like, you know, find a house,
yeah.
Which I know your husband's big in charge, yes, of that. Like, he's in charge of selling the other one. You know, like, we can go have a dinner in Knoxville, yeah, and not, you know, it's just more relaxed. It becomes more ingrained.
Yeah, I think that I kind of try to reward myself with that. So let's get through our recruiting class. We're almost done with our workouts before they head home for summer. And then it will slow down a little bit, but it's going to be a one calendar year of discomfort. And I just did it. I was just at Marshall thinking, okay, I'm not the new one anymore. Like, I've been through every phase. I know how to handle summer. I know how to handle this. I know how to handle that. And so it's going to be 1 year. And so this time next year, I think I'll probably be able to breathe and relax and have a better grip on it.
Every year you have been the head coach, you know, at your alma mater, at Marshall, up to this point, you have finished first in the conference, except for one. And you finished second. You went 10-2 that year in conference play, you know, and that was the COVID year. Yeah. I always say that the COVID year just kind of doesn't
fair
count.
Me too.
Because the kids were put through such a strain. But how have you been able to do every year? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's one thing to, you know, to win a lot, but to constantly be, you know, the top team in the conference, no matter what level you've been at.
You know, I have a blueprint and I have a way that I do things, and you just don't change it. And you sometimes up the intensity, but you just stick with that. And this is what our preseason is going to look like. And this is what our Christmas is going to look like. And this is what our shoot around is going to look like. And it's very routine and it's very monotonous, and you don't really waver from it. You believe in what you do. You believe in your players. You let them play, you give them freedom. And you just don't really switch it up because you don't have to. And then once you have to, then you adapt.
So we talked about all the rotations and subbing in and out, mm-hmm, and all that earlier. At this level, you're going to have recruits that are going to want to play X amount of minutes. Yeah. So how do you balance that? When you're selling your style, how do you assure top five player nationally, hey, you're still going to play a ton of minutes, you're still going to score a lot of points?
I think that, one, we do have to, I do adapt to every team. We still have a philosophy, but we're going to adapt to every team, and you got to check their motors. I mean, last year we had our two point guards had very high motors, so they could play longer. And then, so you talk about motors, you talk about switching up your defense, make or miss, so you can keep your best players on the floor, especially before the media, before the quarter. And the biggest thing is, why do you want to play more minutes? Well, because you want more shots. Well, you're going to get more shots, right? Why do you want to play more minutes? So you can get more possessions. You're going to get more possessions than any team in the country. Like, if you're talking about possessions, opportunity, points, chances to get a double-double, a triple-double, all of that, there's not going to be a better place to come, because that opportunity is going to be in front of you. You're going to get done in 32 minutes more than you would get done in 40 walking the ball up the floor.
How much have you, and you've not been here long enough to, but how much will you have to adapt the attire? Because, I mean, you know, like everybody that comes here, you have to go get, you know, orange this, orange that. How much orange was in your closet before you got here? Any?
No.
So you're going to have, it's going to be all new.
Yeah. I have this. This
all
is orange.
And Summit blue.
Yeah. I have a couple orange things. I have some Summit blue things. It's just all new. I mean, and you just, it's just, I just spent so much money on Kelly Green because I had zero Kelly Green. And so then it's like, man, I was just, you know, so when you talk about a year, you had your wardrobe, you had your shoes. You don't think about your shoes.
Yeah.
You have Kelly Green, you have royal blue shoes. And so then you got to redo your shoes as well. And so it'll take some time. And until then, I'm just going to keep rocking the same couple things.
I always laugh when they bring in a new coach on the men's side, like, there's always somebody there with like four or five different orange ties ready to give the new coach. Like, which one do you like? You know, like to wear for the press conference. Those are always my favorite. What makes you smile?
Right now, my players make me smile. My husband is doing very good at making sure that I stay level headed and don't get too high and too low throughout this process. And he'll do that all year. But I think we have a staff that makes us laugh. But right now, I mean, every day we walk in and the young ladies on this team just make me laugh, and we work hard. And I mean, I try not to let myself laugh during a practice. One thing my dad taught me was don't ever let them see you smile till Christmas, right? Like, you can always ease off, but once you're easy, you can't go back to being strict. And they make me laugh in the middle of a workout, and I almost just have to cover my mouth. Like, girls, they're hilarious, but they're doing it while diving on the floor and working hard and sweating. So what more can you ask for?
Speaking more about smiling, let's learn more about Knoxville Smiles from Dr. Costa.
I'm Dr. Mike Costa, Malone & Costa Dentistry. You can find us at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. I'm standing here in front of a dental robot. We're one of two dentists in the state of Tennessee that utilizes cutting-edge technology. Do you have a broken tooth, a tooth that's in pain, or a denture that doesn't fit well? Maybe you're a little anxious? You can come in and we offer comprehensive sedation services and utilize this awesome technology to give you precise, accurate care. If you think this technology can help you, visit our website at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. I look forward to helping you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, you're a basketball junkie. LeBron or Jordan?
Kobe.
See, Kobe gets more votes than you think. He gets a handful of votes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just, that was my guy. I loved him. I had like VHS tapes where I would like record their games and go to sleep because it would be on the West Coast, and then watch them the next morning through junior high and high school. Like, I'm always going
to
say Kobe.
Are you even old enough to have VHS tapes?
Yes, I am. I still have them. That's how much I loved him.
Oh, VHS tapes. And then when you would rewind them.
Yeah.
I'm old. who's the GOAT for women's basketball?
I don't know. That's hard. I mean, I'm going to go with Candace. And it's because I got a orange on, but it's also because she just retired. And you have a moment to reflect on what she's done for the game on the floor and off the floor. And just what she's done for basketball and just almost unmatched.
How old were you when they won three-peat 96 through 98?
10, 11, 90, yeah.
So, I mean, that's when you would, I mean, and for a little girl, that leaves an impression, right?
Like, absolutely.
You start learning Shamika Holzka and Tamika Catchings and Samika Randall.
And that's when you start watching the game, right? Right. That group, they get you to watch women's basketball. And so you think about the Caitlin Clark, like who you have now in women's basketball.
Yeah, who's leaving an impression on my daughter, right?
Right. Who we watched. And they played with such grit, and they were so tough. And you don't really see that a lot anymore, and we're going to try to bring it back.
Biggest influence on you is who?
My dad. Well, both my parents. Both of my parents. It's easy to say my dad because he's no longer with us. But I won the parent lottery. I have phenomenal parents.
If you could go one place that you've never been, where would it be?
The Division I National Championship game? Or Greece. Yeah, we can go both.
Or Greece.
We can go both places.
That's fantastic.
That's who I am.
You know, one and the same. Your husband, you know, was a coach there at the alma mater too, when he was an assistant at Marshall.
Yeah.
You talked about how he, you know, he's taking kind of a step back to watch you live your dream. How much would you rely on him, not from a coaching standpoint, but just kind of like extra set of eyes, thought processes on a situation, that type of stuff?
A ton. And it's really nice to have somebody that's maybe not in the office every day or not in practice every day.
Can give you an unbiased.
They can give you an and they don't see it every day, so they can tell you. And he was huge last year. We had a situation last year where I needed some very unbiased advice, and he gave it to me and I took it, and it changed the course of our season. And so that to me is nice. He knows me. He knows my temperament. So he knows sometimes when I'm being dramatic and I need to calm down, and he knows sometimes where I'm, where my feelings are involved, and I love a player too much and maybe aren't treating them the way that I should.
What's the biggest life lesson you've been taught pertaining to basketball?
The biggest life lesson I've been taught pertaining to the basketball is probably still one of the hardest ones for me to kind of wrap my head around, is it's so much bigger than basketball. And every now and then you get hit with perspective. You have a player whose parent dies, or you have a player whose house burns down, or you have somebody who's sick in your family, and you spend all of this time worrying about wins and losses and stats and recruitings and appearances. And then you got to put it in perspective sometimes that this is not life. This is something that we do. We do it to glorify God, but this is not life. It's bigger than basketball.
What's the one drill that you teach that the kids hate the most?
There's probably a lot. We have one called Grapevine Layups. We only bring it out during Christmas time. Like, it's a Christmas special when we're doing two-a-days and we have some time off of games. And it's just full court layups, bam, bam, bam. But we place it in practice to where if we started practice with it, it would be easy. We do it at a point in practice.
In the middle.
Yeah, or right towards the end, where this is a pretty tough drill after we've been going for an hour and a half.
When you're talking to your team in the huddle, and before the game, after the game, during the game, like what's the biggest thing you want to convey?
I want them to play confident, and I want them to play hard. I mean, I don't care about much else. Play as a team, represent us well, but as long as you are controlling what you can control, which is your energy level and your effort, then we'll be okay.
When did you know that coaching, I mean, I know you maybe wanted to coach, but when did you know coaching was going to be a real path?
Great question. Once we won a couple, I would say probably three championships in, I was like, oh, pretty good at this. I guess this is what we're doing. And I always tell players that whatever you pick you're going to do, you're going to change your mind three or four times. And that's just kind of life. Like, you think your major is when you're a freshman, probably isn't what you're going to do by the time you're a senior or once you graduate. So once we saw some success, then I was like, okay, well, we're going to coach.
Your former assistants, your former players, your family that are around you quite a bit, how do you think they would describe you?
I think it would be a mix of intense and loving.
How intense does it get?
Only the 8 teams that have been in the practice in the arena can probably answer that one.
All right, you're coming up on your first anniversary.
Yes.
You got married in Sevierville.
Mm-hmm. We did. Almost a year ago.
What led you to Sevierville to get married?
We have vacationed down here for the past 3 or 4 years, and I wanted kind of an untraditional wedding since my dad passed, and I didn't want to be sad without someone walking me down the aisle. Yep. So we decided hey, we're going to rent a big house. So where can we find a big house? We want pretty views, someplace nice. We love it down here. And so we rented a big 16 bedroom cabin, beautiful views, got married in the living room, had brunch, had a great day.
All right. So if you've been there that many times, have you found a go-to spot over that way?
Like, we really like the pancake pantry.
Yeah.
We'll wait in line. It's okay.
So you're a pancake pantry girl. Okay.
Well, my husband is. My husband loves chocolate chip pancakes.
You got the Peddler. You got the Greenbrier. Mm-hmm. Two steakhouses that are really good. Cherokee Grill. Down in Sevierville, you have Frank Allen's, which is like a little local burger spot.
Okay, I haven't had it.
So, yeah. Well, we're going to teach you.
Yeah.
Teach
I mean, it's things. Right there. So.
So the beautiful part of this is, and this is where it gets awkward and fun all at the same time. So Coach has got her website here.
Oh, my goodness.
And we've got her wedding registry. No one bought you the Great Bay Home 4-Piece Jersey Knit California King Cotton Blend sheet set, though.
No, they didn't.
And those are kind of orange-ish.
They are.
Orange-ish. So you knew, you just kind of, it was in your mind the whole time.
Yes, it was. I didn't even remember that. But nobody got them for me.
The towel set, orange.
It matched the sheets.
I will say this. They did buy her the home pack of LED candles. So when the tornado rolled through and you were without power, you still had lights.
I forgot I had those. She could have used them.
I love this. This is fantastic. This literally sent to me on the way over here to tape this. And I'm like, you know what? This is the kind of stuff like when Jimmy Fallon popped on Taylor Swift that his mom or her mom had given him the video of her like after the eye surgery.
This is why I'm glad that we didn't have put pictures on there of us like throughout the year. So I'm going to see if we can get that taken down.
What's the best thing your husband did for you?
He was all about this job. I mean, any reservation I had, any nerve that I had, he was, this is a do it. And he was excited and he was all in. And when you're married, you have to think about the other person. And he said, no, we're doing this. And didn't even really make it a conversation about him and his side, which is almost unheard of.
How did you meet?
We went to college together. So we've known each other since 2010. And then when we were in Glenville and we were working alongside of each other, we just became great friends. And the rest is history.
Where's the first date to?
Oh, gosh. We went to watch. This is, sounds so stupid. We went to watch one of his players. We went to scout one of his players. So we went to recruit a game on the men's side. Had some popcorn. Sat in the bleachers, watched a game.
Did you know it was a date at this point, though? Or did you just think you were just going?
Yeah, we went to eat. We knew. I knew it was a date.
Most romantic. Is he a romantic guy?
But I'm not romantic. So, like, we're romantic in the same type of romance, not like flowers and all of that.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. My wife don't like flowers either. She says they die.
Yeah, I like money.
Yes. So true. What's the one thing that you enjoy most away from the court? Like, what are the extracurriculars for Kim Caldwell away from basketball?
I like to be outside. I like to be with my family. I love the beach. So just being in good weather, having some music on. I mean, it's pretty simple.
What kind of music?
Any type of music. Not any type. I don't really want to listen to like hard rock, heavy metal or opera, but any other than that. Like during basketball season, I'll listen to like R&B and hip hop. And during the summer, I have country on.
You're a small town girl, but do you like big cities? Like, do you like hustle and bustle?
No. I was on the interstate the other day and I said, I'm never getting back on this interstate. I don't
know. Skinks and bike. I don't know. To and fro campus.
Yep. I don't know where my home is going to be, but it's not going to be on this.
I'll tell you where you should live, and it's Sequoia Hills.
Yeah, I know.
Because if you live close enough to campus, then you can bring unofficial visitors to your home.
Great. See if you can get someone to move out.
Volva Nation, get it done. Eviction notice, yeah. Sequoia Hills. For somebody. Justin's coming.
Yeah, he can knock on your door.
Your mom, how often do you talk to her?
Almost every day. It'll be rare. I don't think I talk to her. She's babysitting my nephews, but I don't. Almost every day.
Do you call her? Or does she call you?
I call her. She'll call me every now and then, but she usually lets us call her.
What about the siblings?
We have a family group chat with my 96-year-old grandma who can text and send emojis.
That's the best.
Oh, yeah. And she can send pictures. I mean, she's great with her phone. So we have a group chat, and we talk in our group chat all day, every day.
What's grandma thinking right now?
Grandma, we have sent her a lot of orange. We got her an orange polo and a pom-pom and a bunch of a flag for her front yard. And so she's proud. She's not a... I think anytime you live to be 96, you're not super big fan of change, but you know how to deal with it. And so she's excited.
Door to door, how far is it from hometown to here?
From hometown to here, it's about 6 hours.
I was going to say about five something. Yeah. But yeah.
But from Cincinnati, where my sisters are, and where I think my mom will eventually be, because you can't keep her away from those grandbabies. It's going to be, three and a half, four.
The grandbabies. That's obviously, so you got nieces and nephews.
I have two nephews.
Oh. Yeah. How's that?
Great. Great.
How old?
I think five and two and a half.
Oh, that fun age.
Oh, yeah.
That fun age. Now you've got all kinds of new kids, though.
Mm-hmm.
Right over here on campus.
Yeah.
And sometimes they may act five or two.
Sometimes they probably will. They've been good so far,
and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you're recruiting,
mm-hmm.
what's the biggest thing you're having to answer right now? Like, what's the question you get the most?
Probably the question you asked me about, like, playing time, about the substitution and the playing time.
You think that's something you have to, before in your recruiting, it's probably not getting used against you as much, but at this level,
oh, it's getting used. Yeah,
it's getting used.
Yeah, and that's fine. It's fine. I'm not a salesman. When I bring visits on campus, I'm very blunt, and I always give them a warning or have somebody on my staff say, hey, coach is going to say some things and you're going to look at her sometimes like, what? It's because I don't sugarcoat it. I'm going to say what it is. Whether you should know or you shouldn't know, I'm going to answer the question. And so the question doesn't bother me.
So when you're getting that from parents, mm-hmm. you know, how much do you just have to be like, you know, look, at some point you're going to have to, you know, see us this fall and understand.
Yeah.
To understand. It's kind of like Coach Heupel when he first got here and they had the NCAA cloud over him from the previous coaching staff with football. He had to show that first year they were scoring points. Mm-hmm. Boom, boom, boom. Do you feel like that's the biggest thing that you, at this point now, it's, you know, let's add a few more to the roster and then let's just get to the floor and show them what it looks like.
Absolutely. And for everyone who has stayed and everyone who has committed, I mean, we're going to be all in because it's going to be us and we are showing and we're going to be the team that shows. And then hopefully if it goes well, then everyone else wants to jump on. But they believed in it before they saw it. And they're always going to be very special to me because of that.
Besides the national title, we've already established that. And that's normal. I think the biggest thing for this program is get back to the Final Four for the first time since 2008. You know, I think that the year after Kansas left, that recruiting class was the first recruiting class to not make a Final Four.
Yeah.
And they've not made one since 2008. I mean, like that's mind-boggling when you think about it. There's some Elite Eights and several Sweet 16s, but they just can't get over the hump. What's it take to get there?
You know, that's a question that I don't have the answer to. We're going to go step by step, game by game, not look at big picture right now. I think last year being Division I, you learn a lot. And like our Marshall team, we just weren't used to playing that long. When we got into the NCAA tournament, they had never missed their spring break because they'd never made postseason play.
Yeah.
And so it'll be different here, but there's a lot of things like, and I didn't really realize it until we were in it because I'm used to playing like long seasons, to why they were so fussy and they were so uncomfortable and they were so, had such bad energy in practice because they weren't used to it. And so there's a lot of things that until you get in it, you don't necessarily know until you see it.
Yeah, it's like when you know, you go from playing college ball to pro ball and you go from playing 35 or 40 games to, you know, 82 or Major League Baseball, 161 or 162, whatever they play now. It's just a different path, you know, different challenge. Biggest challenge for you heading into year one's what?
It's just the fact that everything's unknown. Every scout is unknown. The level of competition is unknown.
That can be a good thing for you, though.
It can be everyone. Nobody knows me either. Yeah. Right. So it does kind of work both ways. That their scout, every scout that they have to do for us is unknown. But it's just kind of exhausting to not know a name on a roster. I mean, I know the names on the rosters, but knowing their scout, having done their scout, you know, once you have it done, you can kind of pull from last year and save yourself a little bit of time. But again, it's nice to go with a blank slate sometimes too.
Well, the slate is blank, but it won't be blank for long. Coach, we appreciate the time. We appreciate you coming out for the season finale of season 2 of All Club Confidential.
Thank you.